day the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory be to his name. You're listening to Radio Redemption and Power. We are a South Florida radio program that preaches the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight we're going to be speaking about running the race that is set before us and what are the hindrances and the distractions that may hinder us from running this race that we are called to. So glory to God. We're going to be looking into the scriptures, seeing different things that can cause us to drift or to take our eyes off our objectives. And our objective is to keep them upon our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to say hello to everybody listening tonight. We pray the Lord will bless you and that this broadcast will be a blessing to your life. Remember, you can write to us at our webpage, redemptionandpower.com. There's a contact page on there where you can write to us, as well as on our Facebook or through our email, redemptionandpower@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook, and you can download all of our podcasts directly from iTunes. Brother Lewis, would you kindly lead us in prayer tonight?
Amen. Father God, we want to thank you, Lord, for everything you have been doing in our lives, Lord. And tonight we pray for your people, Lord, that they may understand the importance of this message, Father, that we are to deny ourselves, Lord, and follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're seeking you first in your kingdom.
Doesn't it seem like as the years go by, we have less and less time to spend with God? I remember when I was a child, the days were longer, less stressful, and people had time to spend with their family and God. What has happened? Has time shortened? Or has something consumed this valuable time? When we look at the Bible, we read that one of the tricks that Satan used is to lure our focus away from God and make us look to the things of the world. Today, our lives are consumed with work, watching TV, texting on the phone, navigating the internet, on social media, and socializing. What time do we have for God? For most Christians, going for an hour to church on Sunday is sufficient. Furthermore, while the sermon is being delivered, some are too busy texting their friends or listening to music rather than concentrating on the meaning of the message. So we drift further and further away from God and deeper into distractions. No wonder why many of us can't hear God. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. A distraction is a thing that prevents us from giving our full attention to God and hinders our walk with Him. It is a desire to gratify the flesh. Galatians 5:16-17. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposite each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. On a recent trip that we had to Nicaragua, I was able to see how much we have here in the States. I was also able to see how many of us are ungrateful for what we do have and the amount of time that we spend on unnecessary things. Yet I was also able to see something that we have lost, which is the freedom and time to spend with God, to be able to worship Him without limitations of time, to seek Him daily for our needs. The joy the people had to come together in their churches, to interact with each other, to care for the sick, to help each other. I saw a church that was not looking to be the biggest, the best, but giving everything they collected to feed and take care of the sheep. What has happened to us? How is it that we have lost the drive to continue to run the race, and instead of looking at God, we look at satisfying our own needs? Isn't this what caused Satan to fall from heaven? He wanted but what belonged to God for himself. People of God, we need to change something around. What is more important, a basketball game, playing video games, watching TV, or following after God? The devil has placed all these snares to keep us stagnant from completing our godly mission. However, it is our choice to accept them or not. Friends, as we can see, distractions come to keep us from fulfilling God's calling on our lives. The enemy will always put people, places, and things to keep us from our walk with God. We need to put things aside, stay focused on Jesus, and submit totally to Him. Proverbs 4:27. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil.
The Bible makes it clear that the Christian walk is a race. Now, we call it a walk, but the Bible calls it a race. And I want to read that verse again that Brother Lewis read in Hebrews chapter 12. The scripture says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." We see that we are called as Christians to be focused, to focus on running this race that we are called to. However, what often causes a Christian to stray away, as Brother Lewis mentioned, is distractions. In fact, the word distraction means drawing away of the mind, a pulling apart or separating. And the enemy uses many tactics to get us to draw us away from running the race, and because he wants to knock us off the course so that we can become preoccupied with the things of this world and take our eyes off of the kingdom of God. But you see, our race is like a cross-country road trip on a highway filled with billboards trying to trick us into taking exits that hinder the journey, or at worst, keep us from arriving at our destination. If you have ever traveled by car in the United States, you've probably seen that there are many tourist traps that try to stimulate a traveler's curiosity that often causes travelers to deviate hundreds of miles off their journey. And this is what the enemy tries to do, either through circumstances or by trying to get us to fall into things that we may perceive to be worthwhile. But what are some of these things that may distract a believer from running the race? Now, the first thing that Paul mentions in Hebrews chapter 12, he says, "Let us lay aside every weight." Now, what is a weight? And the Greek word of that is translated weight here means something that is a hindrance, something that is a burdensome upon you. And a weight is specifically that. It's something that it will slow you down. It becomes a hindrance, and it keeps you from doing what you are called to do. And it's not necessarily sin, but yet it hinders our progress. In fact, Paul says something in 1 Corinthians 6:12. He says, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." Now, Paul, when he's referring to here, he's speaking in referencing to food. He's not speaking about something that is sinful, but there was an issue in the Church of Corinthians with some people abusing their freedom, even though it was affecting others, other brothers and sisters. And Paul says here, he's not speaking about sin, because the Bible tells us that if we have been freed from sin, how can we continue it in it? But what Paul is speaking about is about things that we may normally be able to do, but that may still be a hindrance to our lives and the lives of others. And one of the hindrances I want to speak about is riches. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 23:4, "Labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom." One of the things that hinders a Christian walk is focusing too much on having things, on material things, and focusing on building up a savings account as opposed to building up our spiritual lives, our relationships with Jesus. There's nothing wrong with preparing for unforeseen circumstances. There's nothing wrong with having money in the bank. But when it causes us to take our eyes off of God, it becomes a hindrance and it keeps us from growing in our faith. In fact, like Brother Lewis was talking about, one of the things that really impacted us about our trip to Nicaragua is the faith of many who have little but yet depend upon God for their needs. And how many of us know that it is easier for us to fall in times of abundance than it is in times of need? Our hearts, when we have a lot of things, when we have sufficient, it can be more susceptible. It can fall into pride. As opposed to when we are in need, because when we are in need, we're looking for the Lord, we're praying, we're seeking Him, because we know that we cannot do it. But in times of abundance, we tend to become relaxed and bring our guard down. And look at what Proverbs 30, verse 8 and 9 says. He says, and this should be our prayer. It says, "Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, Who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. We as Christians ought to strive to have balanced lives so that we may live lives that reflect temperance, that reflect that we have dominion. And that's one of the things that Paul says. He says, he does not allow anything to bring him under dominion. Is there a hobby that controls us? Is there something that just cannot keep us from, that we just cannot direct our attention away from? And this is a clear sign that we have come under a dominion of something that may not necessarily be sinful, but it has taken us away from our attention from God. Now, riches may not only be a hindrance, but they can in fact completely knock us off the course. Look at what Proverbs 11:28 says, He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. This is in fact what has happened to America. Its once thriving economy has caused many to lose the fear of the Lord. And now this nation now identifies with a culture that is fixated on materialism and pleasure. Abundance can also lead us into a false sense of security, which in fact is another form of distraction. Israel did not repent at the warnings of the prophets, and because of the economical prosperity of the northern kingdom, they had a false sense of security that they were okay with God. But just because we're okay financially does not mean that we are okay with God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:12, Wherefore let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. When we become careless in our walk, we run the risk of drifting. We run the risk of bringing down our guard. We are commanded to be watchful, to be on our guard. No one can say that I've made it and I no longer need to grow in my Christian life. Look at what this example that Jesus gives us in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 12, verse 15 says, And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. He spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This man that Jesus is speaking about, he thought he was okay. And when he least expected it, death came upon him. We see that we cannot have a false sense of security. We cannot be in a place where we think that we have it all, that we cannot grow. We always have to be asking the Lord to search us, because the enemy tries to convince us to be satisfied with where we at, and we miss out on the blessing of going further, on going deeper with God. There's also other examples of things that distract us from the race, and things that keep us from spending enough time in prayer and the Word. And Brother Lewis mentioned some of them, like entertainment and technology. And there's people that have to be constantly on the internet, and it's killing their relationship with God. But Paul doesn't only say to lay aside every weight, but he also says, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us. There is no greater distraction and deterrent that will knock a believer off his course than sin. Sin causes us to become blind and to not be able to discern the will of God. Sin is deceitful. Hebrews 3:13 says, But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Paul says, The sin that so easily besets us or surrounds us. And that is in fact true. Sin is abundantly available. It is everywhere. We don't have to look for sin because sin always presents itself. That's why it's important for us to always be of sober minds, having dominion and control over our minds, being careful with the things we expose ourselves to, and not out of trying to live religiously, but because we belong to God now. We are not of this world. We don't indulge in sin to be saved, but because we are saved. We fight against sin because we have been redeemed, we have been bought, we have been purchased, and we no longer walk the same way we walked before. We are not to defile or to contaminate ourselves with the practices of this world. One of the things that's very rampant that is plaguing the church is fornication. Now, if marriage is not being honored in the church today, how can we expect the world to honor it as well? In fact, there's a saying that goes like this. It says, when the church catches a cold, the world has pneumonia. And this is in fact true. If the conditions inside the church are bad, how much more the conditions of the world? We have to be careful, brothers and sisters, to not give in to sin in our lives. The Bible tells us that through Jesus Christ, we have been liberated from the power of sin. We used to be slaves to sin, but now we have the ability to say no. And in fact, the devil tricks us into thinking that we have to do it, that it is part of us, that it is still part of our personality, part of who we are. It's just something we struggle with. But the Bible says that we have power over sin, and that we, of all people, have the ability to say no. Do not let sin distract you from the path. Look at what Philippians 3:13 says. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We are to forget about the things that are behind, and that includes sin. Forget about the person you used to be before you came to Christ, and we are to press toward or pursue the prize. And what is that prize? To know God and to know that God has greater things in store. Do not allow yourself to become stagnant. Do not stay where you are, but continue moving forward. Paul, who was the man that wrote most of the New Testament, yet he tells us that he had not yet attained the prize. And this is in fact the key, keeping your eyes on the prize. And what is the prize? To be like Jesus, to look for Jesus, to know Jesus. And if Paul said, who was a Christian for about 30 years when he wrote that, he says, I have not yet attained it. I continue to look for that prize. I continue to look to Jesus. How much more we should not be satisfied with where we at? We should be asking God to take us deeper, to take us further, to build, to create more of Christ in us, that we may decrease and that He may increase. And one of the key things that Paul also mentions in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, is to run patiently. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. One of the things that can cause a hindrance and a distraction in our lives is impatience. You see, God told Abraham that He would bless him with a son, but because Abraham took it into his own hands to do the work, to try and say, okay, God said this, so I'm going to go ahead and do it, he set back the promise of God in his life. Because he took it in his own hands and he had Ishmael, it delayed the promise of the son, of the promised son, which was Isaac. We look at Israel. God had planned to give Israel a king. But because of their impatience, God gave them Saul. And Saul caused a lot of damage to the nations. And this is what happens when we try to do God's work. That's why part of God's work in the life of a believer is to cause us to learn patience, to instill patience in us. Look at what James says in chapter 1, verse 3. He says, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." When we have patience, we are not easily distracted, because patience helps us to wait upon the Lord. Numerous times does the scripture tell us to wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. And because of impatience and love of money, we see how that's affected even the food industry here in the United States, which they inject with hormones and all kinds of genetic alterations to increase, to make the process faster. And what is the outcome? Disease, sickness, low quality food, because of impatience. Because of impatience, many churches have turned to other means of church growth instead of relying upon God to bring the growth. Look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:6. "I planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth." Because of impatience, we have relied on sensual means to captivate people, to bring and attract people to church through pretty lights and pretty sounds, which distracts from the Word of God, which distracts from what should be our motive to know and to look to Jesus. In fact, this is the objective. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith." And now it says, "For the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." It says, "For the joy that was set before him endured the cross." That means that Christ was not looking at the pain. Christ was not looking at the process. He was looking at what was to come afterwards, of the fruits of his labor, which were to be a people redeemed, a people transformed, a people taken out for the name of the Lord, that would declare the glory of God to the nations, that would transform the world. And that's what we have to do as Christians. We have to look at the glory that lies ahead, not at the moment, not at the circumstance, not at desiring to get the pleasure now, but what is to come later. One of the interesting things is that the scripture tells us that when we're with the Lord, that he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Now, I wonder why would people be crying if they would be in the presence of the Lord? And I remember a preacher speaking about this, and he said, well, could it be because of the family members that didn't make it? Could it be, because of, the destruction of the wicked? But he says something that really rung in my heart, and he said, could it be because of missed opportunities, of things that we could have done more for the Lord? Could it be that at that moment when we see the glory of God and we stand before him and we see him face to face, can then we recall all the times that we could have stood up for him, all the times that we could have fulfilled the mission that he had for our lives, but yet we decided to be on our iPads or watch a television show or do anything else that distracted us from doing what we were called to do? And that's why we have to look for what is going to be ahead. The Bible says that this world is perishing, that this world will come to an end. But the only thing that will matter are the things that were done in love for Christ, in Christ. And that's why every day we have to strive. I mean, we have so many examples that we see in the Bible. We look at the life of Joseph, who God had given him a revelation, a dream, showing him of what he was to do. And yet he was arrested. He was falsely accused. He was put into prison. He was forgotten. But yet he continued to be faithful. And God, at the appointed time, honored him. We look at the life of Daniel, how he was in captivity in Babylon, a nation that was wicked idolater that worshiped false gods, but yet he maintained himself pure throughout the whole time, and God allowed him to rise up to power not only once, but twice. These were men that were stayed focused, and not only men. We look at Ruth, who her husband had died. She left her country to be faithful and to be focused on what was set before her, to be faithful to her mother-in-law. And God rewarded her. She's actually in the lineage of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to be focused. God wants to do, God is doing wonderful things, and the greatest privilege that a man or human being, a woman can have is to participate in God's plan. And that's exactly what God's doing. He uses men and women for his glory. So I exhort you tonight too, if you've drifted away, if you've allowed things to get into your life, to just take some time to go and sit down with the Lord and ask him, Father, what is it in my life that has caused me to not spend that much time with you? Or some people already know. And go to him and let him renew your heart and mind, and let him bring that change and return to you your joy of your salvation.
Amen. Pastor Javer, you know, you mentioned some of the stuff that goes, distractions that, you know, are not sin, such as, for an example, watching a soap opera. Yet we have many Americans who love watching soap operas, and they're very loyal to them. Now, many of them at times, you know, rather watch that than spending time reading the Word of God. But I want to get into some of the sin that has to do with distraction. And one which we have not mentioned is pornography. And pornography is not only a sin, but it's something that holds you in trap where, you know, you have no control of it, and it consumes a lot of the time, and it destroys a relationship between a man and God. But, you know, I want to talk about some of the sins that, you know, a lot of people don't really acknowledge as being a sin, but, you know, through it, it brings distractions to people from, you know, worshiping God in the churches. And one of the things that a lot of people overlook is, for an example, when young women or women dress improperly, and a person is struggling with a sexual sin, or any man that likes a woman, when they walk in an atmosphere where the woman is improperly dressed, And that distracts their attention to the sermon and even, you know, to God. So that's one of the things, sisters, that, you know, you need to be very careful is how you dress, you know, on the streets and in the church, because that affects, you know, the brothers. Another thing that also, distracts a lot of believers is, you know, friends. And it's sad to say, but some people we need to stay away from. And these are the friends that lure us away from God into clubs, into parties, and these kind of things. And these type of things consume our time and distract us from God and leads us into sin, such as drinking, going into clubs, illicit sex, and many other things. Another thing that goes on in the churches that a lot of people are not aware of is gossiping. A lot of ladies go into church to gossip about their husbands, about their different things that they go through. And I mean, they're not paying attention to the service, the message, or God. They're just more concerned of finding a way to socialize with other sisters and talk about everybody else. Slander is another thing. A lot of people, you know, talk bad about their pastor, talk bad about, you know, their brothers and sisters and leadership. And when they go to church, they can't receive from them because, you know, they don't respect them. So when you don't respect your pastor and when you don't respect your leader, then, you know, these are distractions that keep you from receiving the messages God has for you. So, and there's many more distractions that will lead a believer away from studying the Word of God and listening to God's message. But like my brother Javer said, we need to be able to overcome this and be people who can submit to God totally and dedicate, you know, daily time to God. No matter what the situation is, no matter, you know, what's going on, we need to set aside time to be able to meet with God every day.
I want to take the opportunity to open up the phone lines. And while we open up the phone lines, we want to keep talking on the subject. If you're in need of prayer tonight or have a comment or a testimony you would like to share, you can call us.
There's a land beyond the river that we call the sweet.
I just wanted to follow up with you know, what Brother Lewis was saying. Now, you mentioned Brother Lewis about the soap operas, and there's nothing inherently sinful about watching soap operas, but the thing is, today we're seeing that many of the soap operas are filled with adultery. They're filled with a lot of practices that are anti-biblical, and some even going into witchcraft and into false religions. And I definitely do agree with you that pornography is a huge distraction. It's not only a distraction, but it is something sinful that destroys a relationship between a man and a woman. It is a something that just only brings destruction to the mind and the soul of the person that is involved in it. So if you're a person that's fighting pornography, this is not something that should be kept a secret. This is something that you should bring out to a pastor, to a leader, someone near, someone that can pray with you, because it is a stronghold that needs to be broken, and only through the power of God can that be overcome. And I definitely do agree with you, Brother Lewis, that, you know, women should dress more modestly, but it also is important for us as men to be disciplined with our eyes, to constantly have our minds before the Lord, because we are living in a day and age where sin is just much more abundant. And if we do that, holiness, that sanctity does not come from an intimate relationship with God, it's not something that we're going to attain on our own strength. We need to be walking with God. We need to be spending time with God, because from there is where we derive our strength. From there is where we are empowered to walk above the standards of this world. And we as Christians have been called with a higher calling, a calling to walk in the opposite and against the grain, to walk, to swim against the current of this world, because we are named. We have our Father's name. We are named with, we're Christians, named after Christ. Therefore, we have a great responsibility. We have, we're carrying a testimony. We are to not take His name in vain, and taking God's name in vain is not saying this or that. It is about our behavior, about what we do when we say we're Christians. Do we act like Christians when nobody else is watching? Because God is watching and He's seeing, and He will reward us according to what we do with what we have. So let us continue walking faithfully before Him, walking above this world and above the desires of the culture.
I just want to read this scripture, Brother Javert. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 13. And this is what it says. Therefore, if what I eat causes another believer to sin, I will never eat meat again as long as I live, for I do not want to cause another believer to stumble. There are things that we could do in our lives incorrectly that would cause a brother or a sister to fall into sin. And as believers, we need to make sure that we don't fall into this.
Amen. We have somebody on the line tonight. Come in, you're on live. God bless you.
Hello.
Hello, God bless you. Yes, you're on the air.
God bless you. Yes, my name is Christine. I've been hearing what you're saying. I agree with you. I already were going closer to the Lord and to be an example of just committing to God and not falling back. I totally agree with that. And I just felt the presence of God when you guys were talking about that, because it truly is a challenge when it's coming also for the youth, that when how you dress is what you present God, you know, and
amen.
to keep yourself holy and to just serving God with all your heart and just surrendering to Him.
Amen, 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 amen. Do you have anything that we can pray for you tonight, sister?
Yes, I would like you to pray for my husband for a job, and also I have a newborn that's named Matthew, that he was born premature, and that he's having some difficulties eating and breathing, and we just want prayer that he'll be completely healed.
Amen, amen. We're definitely going to pray for that right now. We glory to God because we know that He's going to do the work. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, blessed be your holy, holy, holy name. Father, Lord, we thank you for Sister Christine, Father, for calling in tonight. Father, we thank you for her life. We thank you for her husband, Jose, Father. We ask tonight, Father God, that you, Lord, will work on behalf, Father, of this petition, on behalf of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father, that you, Lord, will be empowering this family, Lord God, with your Holy Spirit, Father. Right now, we pray for Matthew, Lord Jesus. We ask right now that the power of your Holy Spirit, Father, may touch this child, Father. Father, and any thing unhealthy in his life and his body right now, Father, we cast it out, Lord Jesus, and we speak health over his life, over his body. Father, we pray, Father, that his growth would continue to be normal and healthy, that he would breathe normally, that he would eat, Father, like a normal, healthy baby. Right now, we speak against any demonic assignments, any demonic spirits, Father, that would try to hinder the life of this child, Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we cast it out and speak healing over this child. Father, we also ask, Lord, that you would, Father, provide a good job for Brother Jose. Father, that you, Lord, will be prospering them, Lord, that you, Father, will be providing for all their needs, that it may be a place, Father, where he can bring glory to your name, where he can provide for all the needs of his family, Father, because you are a good God, and you open up doors, Father, that no man can close, and you close doors that no man can open, Father. Father, we give you glory and honor, and we know that in Jesus' name, Father, you will do it, Father. In thy holy name that we pray. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, thank you.
Amen. God bless you. Have a good evening, okay?
One of the things, Brother Javer, that, you know, Christine was just talking about, and she was talking about when we come to Christ, right? We start becoming like Him. We start, you know, purifying ourselves. And that's where, you know, abstaining from the things that lead to sin, it's a form of cleansing, you know. It's a form that God starts to transform us and changes us into that new creation that we spoke about the other day. And you know, when we start becoming transformed into the image of God, then this is what happens, Brother Javer. What happens is that we are not concerned anymore about, you know, the way we used to look or the way we want to look, but the way that we present ourselves to others. Because the way that we present our ways to others tells others where we're from or who we're from. So if we dress appropriately, if we speak appropriately, you know, then what happens is these people are going to know who are we from. But if we dress like the world and we claim to be Christians, then how are people going to know the difference? They're going to call us just the same way as the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They're going to say, you know, these people are dressed in robes like a priest, but they're really, you know, are hypocrites. And that's one of the things that, you know, it's sad to say, but a lot of believers, especially a lot of the youth, don't get. And they need to get that we need to be not only with God, but we need to attribute his ways.
And one of the things that's very important is that because these rappers, musicians, movie stars, you know, TV marketers have so much power, people that are engaged and are distracted by all these methods, all these means, they get seduced into being like that. And in fact, one of the things we're seeing is that even in clothes, it's hard to get a shirt that doesn't have some kind of satanic symbol on it. It's hard to get clothes that glorify God, believe it or not, because so much of, at least the stuff that's trending out there, is all to gratify the flesh, the devil. And we have to understand that as Christians, we're not going to fit in. We're not meant to fit in. Jesus said for us to be the light of the world. The light and darkness cannot coexist. When the light shines, the darkness has to flee. And we are called to be different. We are called to be and follow Jesus Christ and to look like Him. In fact, we are called the body of Christ. That means that we are Christ's present, physical presence here on earth. And we have to live and walk and talk like it. And keep our eyes upon Him. Not allow the things that the devil puts up to distract us, because he only shows us a partial thing. He shows us the pleasure, but he never shows us the consequences. And we have to understand that sin brings consequences. We ought to continue looking to the Lord. We give glory to God. We thank the Lord for our sister Christine and her family, and we know the Lord's going to bless her. And also we pray for those that are listening tonight. If anybody that needs prayer, please write to us at redemptionpower@gmail.com or through Facebook. And we're here to serve God's people. You can also find us on our webpage, redemptionandpower.com, as well as on Facebook. And we invite you to tune in next week here on Radio Redemption and Power on 1080 at 7 p.m. We also have our online radio running 24/7. We have our Wednesday night Bible study, in case you want to tune in to our website at redemptionandpower.com. Right now we're going through the book of Colossians, so we invite you to tune in on Wednesday. We also have Brother Marcos, and we're going to be adding other programs. We're going to have some wonderful programs from the Kapows and wherever else God puts and lines us up with. So we invite you to tune in to us and to our webpage. And we just pray that the Lord bless you tonight.
Every day the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of His coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce His kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power.
1 Corinthians 4:20.
Step by day, it's a long walk home, but I know the way, and I for one will run this whole race till kingdom come, and I see his face.
See his face.